In the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Here beginneth the first sentence of the second chapter of a book you may have read, or at least you have very probably heard of before. Maybe you're not unemployed. Maybe you're just adrift, or bored, or puzzled about where to go next with your life. You're at some crossroads in your life. You can't stand your job anymore. Or you have a new handicap you're trying to adjust to. Or you're just out of the military, or just out of prison, or just out of college, or just out of a divorce. Or you've just lost an important person in your life, and you're ready to look for some deeper purpose for your remaining time here on earth. Here endeth the reading. The job market being what it is, the well-known book, What Color Is My Parachute?, is still going strong, with a new edition out every year, more than 40 years after the first edition. And this job hunting book that I've just read from charts an unusual course, because it doesn't just give advice about how to tailor your resume for this job or that one, and it doesn't just give you strategies for putting in a strong interview. It gives you advice about you and about your life. For instance, the very first section of the book is called How to Find Hope. And the last section of the book is all about trusting God. In between, there are lots of lists of questions and exercises meant to help you take stock of yourself. And at the center of the book is what the author Richard Bowles calls the flower exercise, in which you conduct an extensive self-inventory so that you can know yourself better, not only so you can present yourself more effectively to a prospective employer, but so that you can find a job for which you are actually well-suited and in which you might actually be happy. A little later in the book, there is an exercise that asks you to take 10 blank sheets of paper and spread them out before you and write at the top of each of those pages, "Who am I?" so that you can fill in the space on all 10 of those pages. As it happens, the situations that Bowles imagines in the first sentences of the second chapter of his good book are the very types of situations that trouble most of us, even people who consider themselves Christians, even people who go to church. Maybe you're not unemployed. Maybe you're adrift or bored or puzzled about where to go next with your life. Maybe you're at some crossroads in your life. You can't stand your job anymore, or you have a new handicap you're trying to adjust to, or you're just out of the military, or just out of prison, or just out of college, or just out of a divorce, or you've just lost an important person in your life, and you're ready to look for some deeper purpose for your remaining time here on earth. What do you do if you are in one of these situations, or one that I haven't imagined out loud yet, and you land in church on Commitment Sunday? That Sunday when I am supposed to talk to you about money, when I am supposed to encourage you to give, when I am likely to try to persuade you to give more to the church than you were prepared to give. You are in trouble, aren't you? You are wondering how to find hope, and I am wondering how to find money. Maybe I am wondering how to find money in your checkbook. Perhaps you should come back another day. Perhaps you are just unlucky. This is a possibility. But I have the gospel on my side, after all. You heard the parable of the talents, entrusted by a man who's going away for a long time to his slaves. 5 of them to one, 2 to another, 1 talent to another. And you know where this story goes. Everyone is expected to make more with what's been given to him. At the very least, earn a little interest, even if rates are low. Better yet, make a shrewd investment. Whatever you do, do not bury your talents in the dirt. Do not bury your money in the dirt. And I am absolutely certain that it would be A-okay to use this story to talk to you more and more about money and about how much of it you give and about that may, and that very well may be why Jesus told it so long ago, so that you and I could have a conversation about why you don't give more money to the church, as I'm pretty sure you don't give enough, because I'm pretty sure I don't either. But what if we didn't use this story this morning to talk about how to find money? What if we used it instead to talk about how to find hope, taking our cue from that wonderful little book? What if the hidden question in today's gospel is really this: what color is your talent? Because like Richard Bowles, who wants to help you in your job search, but thinks that you don't know yourself well enough to do it very well, I want to help you in your search for God, but I worry that you don't know yourself well enough to do it very well. I suspect strongly that you do not know what color is your talent. You have not realized all the gifts that God has given you, and you certainly have not found all the ways to use those gifts for your own happiness and for God's glory. I suspect this about you because I also suspect it about myself. And I can assure you that every word I ever preach to you, I am really preaching to myself. And I also suspect it because I know enough of you well enough to see that you are selling yourselves short as children of God. I perceive that you have taken your talents, at least some of them, and have buried them in the dirt. And I know that this is a shame. Allow me to borrow a little more from What Color Is My Parachute? In the section on how to find hope, we learn this: that hope requires that in every situation we have at least two alternatives. This makes sense, since having only one choice in life often leaves us feeling boxed in, trapped, dead-ended, hopeless. And if it is easy to feel this way in a job search, then it is also easy to feel this way in your search for God. It's easy to feel this way in your spiritual life. It's easy to feel this way about being in church, being boxed in, trapped, dead-ended, hopeless. How many of you have children or siblings or close friends who have felt precisely this way about their search for God in church and have opted, instead of continuing, to simply give up? You mean I have to stand here and sing these hymns? I have to believe this creed? I have to show up at this hour and fall to my knees at these appointed moments? I have to admit I'm a sinner? I have to put my money in that silver plate as it goes by? This is my only option for finding God and staying with him? No, thank you. The people I know, by contrast, who are furthest along on their journeys with God, know full well that the journey doesn't begin and end in the pew. Because sometimes faith from the pew isn't enough. It leaves you feeling empty, unchallenged, unmoved, doesn't provide enough spiritual calories or provoke enough transformation in your life. So these people who are far along in their journey with God find alternative ways to engage their desire to be with God while still keeping the pew option, shall we call it, open. Probably even showing up once a week or day by day to keep the pew option on the table. But they are also volunteering at St. James School to tutor a kid who needs help, or volunteering in the office to help keep this parish running like the well-oiled machine you know it is, or making soup to feed hungry people, or digging in the garden, or packing groceries for the food cupboard, or studying the Bible on Wednesday nights, or keeping a discipline of prayer at home, or going to a yoga class to find strength and a space for contemplation, or visiting a monastery for a day or two of silent retreat now and then, or traveling to a far-off place to help people in need. People who are really advancing in their relationship with God are very often doing so because they have found other ways beyond the pew to make these advances. And they discover that when they are in church, the prayers and the hymns and the bread and the wine, the kneeling and the standing, the creeds and the scriptures, all have more meaning, all point to a bit more hope, because this pew option is now only one of the ways that God is being revealed in their lives. Borrowing again from Parachute, I see that there is a chapter entitled Attitudes Necessary for Survival, a chapter I can see many of you need to read. This seems like a good idea, to have attitudes necessary for survival. Let's see what they are. One, find something that it is within your power to change. Two, assume that nothing that worked before will work now, because the world is a different place than it used to be. And three, believe that nothing is meaningless. Again, what works in job hunting would appear also to apply in God hunting. Remember that the search for God is always about growth and change. God wants you and me to grow, which requires us to change. He wants you and me to move beyond our limitations, to turn from things that we do to trip ourselves up, to learn to be stronger, more loving, and more wise. Most of this change will, God willing, come from Him. But he expects to do most of the work. But some of it must also come from you and from me. God always seeks our partnership in the process of transformation, because otherwise it's just magic. And magic transformations don't last very long. Real, life-changing transformations require a bit of effort on our part, so that we have to look for something that it is within our power to change. Now, many people learn more about religion in their childhood than at any other time of their lives, and then are surprised when their Sunday school religion is not robust enough to sustain them in their adult lives, as though you and the world you live in have not changed at all. But assume for a moment that what worked for you as a child is not enough religion to sustain you. Assume that you require more, and different input, that you need to know more than just that Jesus loves me. This means that you may need to go about the practice of religion more often and differently, seeking new, more intense outlets for religious expression, discovering more than one alternative. And I promise you that you do not need to find another church to do that in, whether St. Mark's is your church or some other one. You will find in most decent churches avenues to explore your faith that you have never tried before, all under the same roof. Maybe you should try one of them. And can you believe in your search for God that nothing is meaningless? Can you believe that the gifts God gave you, no matter how varied or how limited they seem to be to you, are all important to God and useful for the building up of God's kingdom? Do you realize that it takes no skill more advanced than ladling out a bowl of soup, or filling a basket with bread, or stuffing envelopes in the office, or greeting a person at the church door to make a difference in this world and to build up God's kingdom? Do you realize that, in fact, the kingdom of God depends on all those apparently meaningless acts? But nothing is without meaning. Listen, it is as if a man went on a journey and has entrusted you with some of his talents, as he has entrusted some to the person next to you. What are you to do? You could begin by taking 10 sheets of paper and spreading them out before you and writing at the top of them, "Who am I?" And then filling in all the blank spaces on all those 10 sheets of paper. That would be a good exercise. But at the very least, you should ask yourself why God has given you the things that He has given you. What are you supposed to do with all that God has given you? Which is another way of asking, who are you? If you think that Christian stewardship is all about money, then that is like concluding that a job search is all about your resume, which is, of course, crucial, but by no means the whole project. And money may also be crucial to our Christian work, required ingredient to building up God's kingdom, but it is not the whole story. And what I know about the Christian life is that those who live it most deeply, most thoroughly, most fully, are the ones who share their talents and their money most freely. Look around, and you will see this too. And I also know that you could all empty your bank accounts into St. Mark's coffers this very morning, leaving nothing for yourselves, in acts of radical self-offering, and we would still be no closer to the kingdom of God. Because if the only talents that you are willing to give are your green ones, then you might as well just bury them in the dirt. Who are you? What color is your talent? Is it blue as the sky, because your mind is always at work dreaming up good ideas that need a community in order to be realized? Is it silver as a fine table setting, because you have a gift for hospitality? Is it black and white because you have a way with words? Is it four color because you have a way with images? Is it brown as the soil because you love to be in the garden? Is it waxen as a candle because you are ready to serve God at the altar in the beauty of holiness? Is it white as a chorister's surplice because you are ready to lift your voice in song? Is it pink as, well, looking at you, I know there are some of you whose talents are pink. Thanks be to God. Is it red as blood because you are a healer who is ready to bind up wounds? Is it black as a chalkboard because you are a teacher who loves to help others grow? Is it golden as a doubloon because you know that money is actually one of the easiest things to give away? What color is your talent? Who are you? And are you prepared to turn your talent into something more? Are you ready to find hope? Christian stewardship is all about how to find hope, because it encourages us to see new alternatives, especially to the old, tired ways we've been doing things, wasting our energy, forgetting to use our gifts, and throwing our money at things that amount to nothing. Maybe you're not unemployed. Maybe you're just adrift, bored, puzzled. You're at some crossroads in your life. You can't stand your job, or you have a new handicap, or you're just out of the military, or just out of prison, or just out of college, or just out of a divorce, or you've just lost an important person in your life, and you're ready to look for some deeper purpose for your remaining time here on earth. And maybe you are wondering how to find hope. Maybe you need to make a pledge to dig up the talents that you have buried in the dirt, to make them grow into something new. Maybe you need to discover what color is your talent. Maybe you need to answer the question, who am I? Because the truth is that you yourself are the talent that Jesus is begging you not to bury in the dirt. Your gifts, your skills and charms, your weaknesses and quirks, your strengths and abilities, your history and your future, and yes, even your money, which you have gained by using all those talents. Everything about you is what Jesus is asking you to offer him, to see the amazing choices you can make in building up his kingdom, so that you can measure every ounce of your value, every bit of your worth, and you can assess fully the complicated tincture of the color of your talent, so that finally you will know how to find hope. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.